But one man decided he was going to make a stand against this. He was called Bourgelai. He was at the heart of the Chinese elite. Bo's father had been one of the leaders of the revolution with Mao Zedong. But in the Cultural Revolution, Mao had turned on Bo's father, and he was brutally beaten. And Bo's mother was killed mysteriously. Bo himself had been a Red Guard, but was sent to a labor camp for 5 years. But Bo now announced that he was going to bring back the dreams from that time. In 2007, Bo was made the head of the city of Chongqing. Chongqing was one of the biggest cities in the world. It had a population of 32 million people. And Bo decided to use the city as a laboratory for a giant experiment. He started to hold mass rallies in the city, which were broadcast live on television. And red songs from the Mao era were sung by thousands. Bo said that the reason for the corruption in China was because there was no shared vision of the future, no aim or purpose other than money. And he was going to reawaken the idealism of the past. And he also passed sweeping laws to try and tackle the growing inequalities, subsidizing housing and education. And Bo brought in a new police chief, whose job was to root out the gangsters who had corrupted every part of the city government and were still demolishing thousands of people's houses. Bo soon became famous, and he was seen as a future leader. He and his wife, a lawyer called Gu Kailai, became a glamorous couple. They, like many others of the Chinese elite, had a fascination for old England. Many of the estates being built for the new rich in China's cities were designed to look like an imaginary version of England's past.
At Piccadilly Circus, they turn left.
Hey, you're driving on the wrong side of the road!
Back her off, Yank!
They cross Hyde Park to get their fair share of abuse and walk into a great marble arch.
Oh, my nose!
Groping for the door, they step inside and make their way through the crowded pub. They climb the 13 steps to the tiny stage. They're ready for mystery. They're ready for excitement. They're ready to affect phony British accents.
It's an English hall, you can see. It's about 8,000 square meters.
Bo and Gu decided to send their son to an English public school, Harrow. And it led them to meet an Englishman who had come to China called Neil Haywood. He had also been to Harrow, and he helped their son. And he soon became close to the family. Haywood also lived in the old dreams of England, from a time when it was powerful. He dropped hints that he worked for MI6. And he drove around Beijing in an Aston Martin with the number plate 007. Haywood used his friendship with the family to make a property deal in Chongqing. But then, for some reason, the deal went wrong. And Haywood blamed Gu Kailai. At the same time, rumours started to come from the centre in Beijing that what Bourgelai was doing in Chongqing might not be as idealistic as it seemed. And in Russia, there were those who were also trying to attack and expose the emptiness and the corruption that had taken over the society there. In 2007, members of the small National Bolshevik Party that was led by Edward Limonov burst into the finance ministry in Moscow. They wanted to make people realise the corruption of Russia hadn't gone away. It was now spreading even deeper into the society, and that Putin had to go. They were arrested, and 39 of them were put on trial together in a giant cage.
I believe we are a most effective organization of Russia who irritates the government, but very effective that clumsy police state cannot struggle against us. 39 young people behind bars more than 6 months. What they said we want Putin to go out.
Putin's other main opponent was the journalist Anna Politkovskaya. What Putin had done, she said, was simply take the vast corruption that had begun with the oligarchs and shift it into the public sector. So the civil servants, the managers, and the intelligence agents around Putin all now benefited. One of them put it simply, why take handouts from billionaires if you can become a billionaire yourself? Politkovskaya said that the society Putin had created was one in his own image. It too believed in nothing.
He became president without any program, without any words. If there was independent television, they would tear Putin apart piece by piece. He has nothing to debate. He has no program. He has no personality. He has no interests. The bureaucrats have made literally millions together with their families. I think they were very happy with Putin. They knew he would create favorable conditions in which corruption could flourish.
3 months after the interview, Anna Politkovskaya was shot outside her apartment in Moscow. But despite the shock and outrage, nothing changed. Since Putin had come to power, the global price of oil had increased massively.
The weather is coming to Southern California. This is Remington Noble aboard the flagship of a great Viking armada sailing for Southern California. Mighty Norsemen strain at their oars, muscles rippling beneath their fierce horned helmets, proudly transporting the first Valhalla Thunderbolt petroleum products to the American West. And California motorists will soon sample the fuel of the gods. Valhalla Thunderbolt gasoline, a product of Viking research and engineering. Look for Valhalla Thunderbolt gasoline soon, beneath the sign of the Prancing Norseman. Valhalla above all. Put a Thunderbolt in your tank.
Money had poured into Russia. One journalist described what happened. The country, he said, rode through the first decade of the 21st century in a state of semi-oblivion, in a dream world of consumption. Like Bourgeois in China, Edward Limonov believed that the only way to escape from this empty world was to bring back the old dreams from the past. But in his case, the communism was mixed with a fascist nationalism. Google was now making billions, and at the heart of it was data. It had become a new gold rush.
Down on your knees now. Do you recognize what I'm holding over your heads, lads?
It's a cross, the symbol of the quartering of the universe into active and passive principles.
God have mercy on their heathen souls.
What the Father means is, what is the cross made of? Gold. Have you got any?
No.
What about the 7 cities of gold? Phoenix, Tucson, Las Vegas?
This is gold.
What's that?
Corn.
Hey, corn! Now we can make tortillas!
We've been waiting for this for hundreds of years.
Tacos.
Products of more and more companies around the world were set up to mine all the traces of human behavior everywhere. And nothing was quite what it seemed. The makers of Roomba revealed that new models would also be able to gather and transmit information about the inside of people's homes. People, though, they added, could always turn this off if they wanted.
Hi, I'm Tristan, Global Passion Ambassador for WeVibe, Couples Vibrator.
And even the vibrator, WeVibe, was discovered transmitting data about people's private behavior back to the service.
Good morning, Kayla.
Good morning. I love the morning, don't you?
While the German government instructed parents to destroy any models of Kayla the doll because it contained what they called a concealed espionage device that could also transmit personal data about the behavior of the whole family. And Pokemon Go, which was created by a subsidiary of Google, was more than just a game.
Pokemon, which actually means pocket monsters.
Oh, I enjoy Pokemon. I love Pokemon. Yes. I particularly like that little yellow guy. And also the one that looks kind of like a cabbage. I enjoy Pokemon very much. If I had a hat, I'd be wearing it backwards. And I would be involved in a kind of cult in which we traded mushrooms with each
You're
other.
You're an absolute idiot, because that's not the question I asked you at all. I wish you could answer my questions, but I guess not.
I'm going to nod.
I don't know. Yeah, I know. I guess you're not going to be straight with me. And
well, it's when my lips move, they generally are saying something to the effect of this. I enjoy mushrooms, but I like a badger even more. And if the Cardinals try to get the badgers, then I think...
Mushrooms and badgers. Now, there's something that we can all agree on. A delicious dish.
As well as extracting even more data from the players' phones, it was also what one researcher described as persuasive gaming. An experiment to see if you could move mass groups of people around to where you wanted them. As well as having fun, the players could also be guided to what was called sponsored locations, cafes and bars that would pay to be a part of the system. One journalist described the aim. Pokemon, she said, is about herding people to monetize checkpoints without them being fully aware of it. All this was not only creating a world where human behavior could be predicted, it was going to do something else. Something that scientists and engineers had been struggling with for 50 years. It was finally going to solve the problem of how to create real artificial intelligence. But it would do it by creating machines that could see a different kind of reality, one that was hidden from human beings. The key figure who did this was a psychologist called Geoffrey Hinton. He was the great-great-grandson of George Boole, who had invented Boolean logic that is behind all the algorithms in modern computers. In the 1990s, Hinton realized that the idea that you can create AI by feeding rules of human logic into the machines had completely failed. What Hinton said was that you do the opposite. You get rid of all the rules of logic and instead feed a mass of data into the computer and let it look for its own connections and patterns. He used what were called neural networks, where the connections inside the computer mimicked the human brain.
Back in the 90s, there was a completely different paradigm that wasn't called artificial intelligence, it was called neural networks, that said, we know about an intelligent system, it's the brain. And the way that works is you have lots of little processors with lots of connections between them, and you change the strengths of the connections, and that's how you learn things. And those connection strengths change have to somehow be driven by data. You're not programmed, you somehow absorb information from data. And you can't do it with rules, there's too many rules to write. You just have to learn it from data.
Now, that data was available online. And Hinton began to feed millions of words and images into the machines and instructed them to look for patterns. To learn a language, the neural network would look for which particular words appeared next to each other in the billions of sentences they were scanning and which were far apart. The machine is not interested in the meaning of the sentence, only the patterns. It was a completely different way of making sense of reality. Human beings told themselves stories about what was happening around them minute by minute.
Read me a story, Tutan.
Which one?
Big dog, little dog.
Hinton's neural networks were a kind of intelligence that completely ignored all stories. Instead, they crossed back and forth across time and space as they search through data on the internet, looking for links and patterns that human beings would never be able to see or understand. Hinton began to work on artificial intelligence at Google, and he gave what he had created a name. He called it Vector World. It expressed what was becoming one of the most powerful mythologies of our age. The idea that had begun with complexity theory in the early 1990s. It said that the world is too complicated for us as human beings to understand. But nothing is too complicated for the machines and the data, for they can see the hidden reality under the surface. And this new fragmented way of ordering reality into patterns was going to spread. And as it did, it would detach human beings even further from understanding what was happening in the real world. In the banks, computers were being used to package the vast amounts of mortgages that were being lent in the property boom to everyone and anyone. The computers cut up the dangerous high-risk loans and recombined them with other, safer loans. The bankers believed that this neutralized the risk and stabilized the system. But as they did this, the connection of the debts to human reality was broken. Instead, they simply became patterns of millions of fragments of meaningless data moving harmlessly around the system in the server farms. What had happened was that the bankers, the risk analysts, the rating agencies, the accountants, and the politicians had all given themselves up to this new way of thinking. A way of thinking that said that the data and the algorithms understood the complexity of the world better than you did. Which meant that none of them saw the absurdity of what was really happening. A vast wave of money was being lent to millions of poor people who could never afford to pay it back. But then it got more complicated, because human beings were also exposed to the avalanche of data online. And they started to behave in very much the same way as Geoffrey Hinton's artificial intelligence machines. They too spent vast amounts of time searching through all the data, looking for patterns, links, and coincidences that had no obvious meaning. But being human beings, they then turned them into fantastic, elaborate stories.
Hello, hello, hello there, dear friends and kids. This is your old Uncle David, and it's time for the Whisper and Squash Show. Yes, sirree, the old Whisper and Squash Show, brought to you again by organic food. Remember, if you're gonna eat it raw.
Right on. Hey, Uncle David, hi, pick a familiar story.
Well, let's see. What about the maiden and the mouse?
Hey, right on. Pick a method of transportation, Uncle David.
Well, now, what about a dugout?
Too primitive.
Too slow.
Too deep.
Well, all right, What about an atom sled?
Too fast.
Too corny.
Too square.
Well, what about the silver gray angel of Los Angeles?
Yay! Yay! Hooray for the symbols!
They were called conspiracy theories. Years before, Kerry Thornley and his friend Greg Hill had started what they called Operation Mind. They had spread the conspiracy theory that the Illuminati were really the secret rulers of the world. They had done it to parody and ridicule all conspiracy theories, because they thought that they undermined the confidence of individuals and made them easier to control. But now, in the mass of data online, those stories about the Illuminati got mixed up with other conspiracies, both true and false. And out of it came extraordinary, dreamlike stories, built out of fragments of truth and fiction. Millions of people became convinced that all the major stars, from Britney Spears to Beyoncé, were being manipulated and controlled by the Illuminati. The theory said that the Illuminati had worked with the CIA and their MKUltra project, and with Walt Disney, to create a new system of mind control. The stars' videos contained hidden messages, above all, images of triangles put there by the Illuminati.
Can't place the orchestra on triangle. Thank you.
Telltale clues to what is really happening. Shaka had attacked the way the black community was already, in the 1990s, retreating into conspiracy theories about the Illuminati. They were doing it, he said, to avoid confronting the very real powers that did control their lives.
Turmoil on the American housing market gets even worse, and the aftershocks wipe tens of billions off world stock markets. The organizations which underpin mortgage lending in America need a multi-billion dollar bailout.
Are you checking me? Are you asking me for trading?
In 2008, the systems in the banks that had structured the mortgage loans failed completely. It led to a global economic crash. The governments in Britain and America rescued the banks. But they then decided to transfer the debt that incurred away from the private sector to the public sector. And what was called austerity began. That decision was going to have powerful consequences because it created anger among millions of people outside the system. Then, in the wake of the crash, evidence of widespread corruption came out, that all the major banks had been rigging interest rates, and many of them had been laundering money for organized crime, including the drug cartels in Mexico. But again, nothing seemed to change. A few lowly people were prosecuted, and experts talked of reforms and stress tests. And the shock among those outside the system grew further. And from that came the reaction.
It was the elites and people like you and me, people that bought into the system. And who's been held accountable? Name me one banker, one CEO, one law firm, one accounting firm. We basically just flooded the zone with liquidity. We bailed out the party of Davos. And let me say it differently. The party of Davos, the scientific, engineering, managerial, financial, cultural elite bail themselves out. Remember, this populist movement in Donald Trump is not the cause of this. They're the product of this.
And it worked on different levels. The most obvious level was we've got to take back control from Brussels, but it was also, and I think David Cameron and George Osborne didn't quite appreciate this, it was also about taking back control from of the system itself. It was, for a lot of people, take back control made them think, yeah, these are the guys who screwed up the economy, who drove it off a cliff in 2008, whose mates are all the Goldman Sachs bankers and the hedge funders on massive bonuses. Us mugs on PAYE are the ones paying the bills for this. We'll show those guys. We'll take back control from you lot in London.
For Dominic Cummings, Brexit was not an end in itself. For him, it was a way of getting rid of the failed elites and the old political systems that ran Britain. In their place, he was going to use modern network technologies and data to transform an old decaying society. But what Cummings hadn't reckoned with was how the campaign that he had begun would awaken ghosts from Britain's past. They would reach out to possess Brexit and modern Britain. At the end of 2011, the body of a British man was discovered in the Lucky Holiday Hotel in Chongqing. It was Neil Haywood, who had been friends with Bourgeois and his wife. There were rumours that he had been murdered,
did a British man die here? Don't take interviews. But do you know if it's factually true that that happened? Did that actually happen?
Yeah, we go, we go.
Okay.
After the body was found, Bohr's police chief came to him, and he told him that Bohr's wife had arranged the murder because Haywood was threatening to reveal that she had been illegally moving large amounts of money abroad.
It was a hot, dusty day in 1901 when they stretched Mayor Bill. There he was, flopping up there, turning all red, white, and blue, where the flag ought to be. Ring, ring, ring. That's the mayor's phone. I'm the mayor. That's my phone. But I'm not picking it up. I can't pick it up. I got the fiddlers. It's hot here in City Hall. I'm opening the window. Open, open, open.
The mayor is the problem. The
what?
Flagpole is
the answer.
We hung the first one.
We can hang another one.
The mayor is the problem.
I don't
problem.
Want this to become a tradition. It's hotter out here than I thought. I'm closing the window. Close, close, close. I can close windows with my mind, but I can't keep these Elmers from hanging me. Is it worth it? Oh, hell yes. Cost me $20 million a year to get elected. 10 goes into my pocket, and I'm making up the other 10. Ring, ring, ring. That's the mayor's phone. And yeah, the mayor's gonna answer it. Penis nose.
Did you say penis nose?
Doc.
This is Doc Infermo at the infirmary.
Yeah, I know.
The wells are poisoned.
Of course they are, Doc. You poisoned them.
Well, you made me do it.
That's why they elected me. Shiny, shiny water, remember? Ring, ring, ring. Conference call. Penis nose.
Infermo. Coach SWAT at the field house.
Uh-huh.
Hey, the no-neckers down here growing a foot a day. I'm running out of high tops.
You hormoned them, Coach.
You made me do it.
That's why they re-elected me. Big, big, big. Win, win, win. Ring, ring, ring. Conference call. Penis nose.
Infermo. SWAT.
Sprawl here. I'm calling from the bottom of another sinkhole, Mayor. A 40-footer.
Where this time?
The new golf course.
Hey, Bill, stick a flag in your ass and call it 19.
Mayor B, you're a genius.
We're all cats in this bag, Sprawl.
Fellow citizens, I want out. Look, sudden death, Doc. Don't punt in your pants now.
Chipwhacker, sissy, decaf.
Okay, now get an edge, boys. Come this afternoon, they'll be dragging you all down Bill Street at the front of the parade.
Ahead on the poles, boys.
Yeah, swinging high.
What do you say, Doc?
We're doomed.
The police chief then fled to the American consulate in nearby Chengdu because he feared that Bohr was going to kill him. And he told the press that Bohr and his wife were really ruthless gangsters who had brought corruption to the very top of the Communist Party. What then came out shocked China. It was alleged that while Bohr had portrayed himself as an idealistic hero and paraded gangsters and corrupt officials in front of the cameras, he and his police chief had really been using extreme violence and torture, taking millions from organized criminals and bribes from property developers, and then keeping the money for themselves. While Bohr sang songs praising Mao Zedong, he had really just been using those revolutionary ideas as a smokescreen to hide corruption that went to the very heart of the city government. But Bourgelat denied all the allegations. He came to the party conference in Beijing and insisted that what was happening was an attempt to smear him by the corrupt networks that he was rooting out in Chongqing. No one knew who to believe. There were rumours that really it was an even more complex plot by his rivals in Beijing to stop Bohr from getting power. And in the middle of the conference, he and his wife were arrested and thrown into jail.
Something here on the colouring book?
Yeah, it's the Deputy Dan colouring book. We're going to read it to the kids.
I'm going to help translate this. This is a publication for school children, and it's in Spanish.
Sí. Oh, boy, this is going to be good.
Mi nombre es Deputy Dan, del Departamento del Sheriff, del Condado de Los Ángeles.
My name is Deputy Dan, and I work for the Sheriff of that's a very strange word.
Condado
there.
De Los Ángeles.
I work for the Sheriff of the Jail of Los Angeles.
Deputy Dan nos dice, nunca suban a carros de personas extrañas.
Don't get into any strange cars with Deputy Dan. what that says there.
Les enseña a cuidarse por las calles.
Deputy Dan will walk small Chinese children across the street.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Is that nice?
Deténgase, mire y escuche antes de cruzar la calle.
Run like hell when you cross the street because Deputy Dan is after you. That's for
that's
the ghettos.
No siga la pelota hacia la calle.
Now, this is a very interesting, this is linguistic here. The translation of that might be let's rock and roll or let the dance go on. Word for word, it's don't follow the balls when they make the street. It's very hard to translate literally from Spanish.
Don't follow the balls when they make the street.
Something like that. It's,
obedeza las leyes para su seguridad.
You better obey all the laws or they'll put you in security prison.
Right on, right on.
Deputy Dan nos ayuda cuando estamos golpeados.
Deputy Dan will knock us down when we're injured by a car. I think that's what that is.
Deputy Dan terrible.
Ay, si nos perdemos.
This is a shot of naked children, or almost naked children, being picked up by a police helicopter way up in the mountains where they've gone. That's Deputy Dan will find us no matter how far away we go. The translation of that.
Deputy Dan es su amigo.
Deputy Dan. Scary. Deputy Dan.
Has no friends.
Has no friends.
I know enough Spanish. I know him personally, sir.
Right, right. That's very good.
finally. No le abran las puertas a personas extrañas.
Never open the door for Deputy Dan. He's on the other side.
He doesn't have to knock anymore, you know, Deputy
Dan. That's a
Dan.
Wonderful publication.
Hi, boys and girls. I'm Peter Pitcher, Sheriff of Los Angeles County.